Blog Talk Radio.
And with the Burning Bush Church, holds you North 13th Street in Irvine, North Carolina. We count the privilege and the honor to be able to come on this afternoon to hear the words from the Lord. But before we give the word, we just want to sing a portion of this psalm. In him I live, in him I move, in him I have my being. I might as well not move at all, except I move in him. In him I live, in him I move, in him I have my being. Might as well not move at all, except I move in him. In him I live, in him I move, in him I have my being. Might as well not move at all, except I move in him. I said, in him I live, in him I move, in him I have my being. Might as well not move at all, except I move in him. When God told Moses to cross over the River Jordan, Moses thought within himself that God wasn't going to go with him. And God, Moses said to God, if you don't go with me, I'm not going over the River Jordan. You know, we need to be like that today. We don't need to go and let God go with us. Moses realized that in God he lived, in God he moved, in God he had his being. And he might as well not move at all, except I move in him. This afternoon, we want to talk about giving God everything, giving God our all in all, putting God first again. God told them in the book of the Word of God, he told them in Revelation when he was talking to John, he said, tell him, John, that I see their works. I see how they judge the apostles that are false and judge them and know that they're wrong and set them in order. Say, but tell them I got somewhat against them. They have left their first love. This is the generation that we got now going on. They're serving God, but they don't love God. Because Jesus said, if you say you love me and don't keep my commandment, he said, you're lying. They serve the Lord, but he ain't keeping the commandments of God. You can't love God and not keep his commandments. Oh, that's what we want to talk about, putting God first, loving God, keeping his commandments. That's like some man telling his wife that he love her, and yet he over there in the house with another woman. But he told his wife he love her, but he having an affair with another woman, got children in another house, but yet he love his wife. You think she believed that? No, she don't believe that, because his actions are not showing that. He said one thing and he's doing another. So it's what we doing. We tell God we love him, but we over there at the devil's house. Just like that man over there, that woman out, and tells his wife he loves and then got children by another woman, and he stayed over there with her more than he stayed at home. He don't love her, and neither do we love God when we spend more time with the devil than we do God. Ain't that something? He said we could, because God said we don't commit adultery. We commit adultery when we love the devil and we married to God. Do you not know, church, we are married to God, and we can't love God and the devil too. The Bible says we can't love them both. You're going to love one and hate the other. You love God, but you're hanging around the devil. We love God, but every time we see you in the devil's arm. What kind of mess is that? You love God, but you land in the devil's arm. God, you know, God said you've got to love him with all your mind, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. I want to share this out with Malay, trying to get another solid, but I want to get the church back in place. I want to get the people in the church back in place. This not a game going on. This ain't no hokey pokey. Put your left foot in and take your left foot out, put the left foot in and shake it all about. This ain't no hokey pokey game. This thing is real. This thing is real. And you got to serve God with all your heart, mind, soul, and sense. Now, when you was out in the world and you didn't know God, it was a different story. That all you had, you gave it to the devil. But now that you've been born again, now that you've been bought with a price, you owe God your all. It's not like, for an example, I was thinking today about my message, someone going to the store and buying groceries. And say they bought $100 worth of groceries, and the clerk tell them, go get in the car. I bring the groceries to the car. And they know how many bags of groceries they got. So they go get in the car, and the clerk come, and he opens up the bag, and he put the groceries in, and then when they get home, they know they had about 35 bags. But when they get home, they ain't got but 17 bags. But the clerk said he put the groceries. He said he gave them all their groceries. That's what he said. But when they got home and counted the bag, they realized that there was not all. They know it wasn't all, but they know how many bags they had when they was in the store. And that's what we do, God. We think God can't count. Huh? Somebody telling God we gave him all. And God seeing right now that we done kept some of it back. We done kept some of it for ourselves. Like Ananias and Sapphira, we done kept some of it for ourselves. Some of it, we gave it all. God want you all. You want God to bless you? Give God you all. Give him all. Don't shortchange him. Give him all that he gave you. See, you don't partly belong to God. You don't halfway belong to God. For the scripture says you've been bought with a price. We all been bought with a price. We're not our own. We belong to Jesus. Ain't that something? We've been bought with a price by the blood of Jesus. He bought all of us. He didn't buy some of you, even as wretched as we were, even as broken as we were, even as ungodly as we were. He bought us. Hey, that's nice of him to do that. Look, who would buy something ain't worth nothing? Who would buy something broken and know it's broke? Who would go to the car lot and buy a car and pay $20,000 for that car and the motor messed up in it? Who would go to the car lot and buy a $20,000 car knowing the transmission won't even work? Huh? The back wheel locks up on it. Who would do that? Nobody. But God bought us broke. God bought us messed up. Who go buy a car that is messed up? Nobody. Nobody. Who would go to the store and buy sport groceries, sport meat? Nobody. But God bought us sport. He bought us broken. He bought us rotten to the core. But God bought us. He paid a price. We belong to him. Even though we were wretched and undone, even though we were lost and broken and ungodly, even though we didn't even love the Lord, we didn't love God. God loved us. For the Bible says God so loved the world. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That who does not believe in him shall not perish, but have an everlasting life. We didn't deserve God. We didn't deserve God to die on the cross for us. We didn't deserve God to shed his blood, but he did. And he bought us. He said we are not our own. We belong to Jesus. Because we've been bought with a price, blood of Jesus. You're not your own. I don't know who told you you were. You've been born again. When you became born again, you belong to the Lord now. You belong to him. And Paul said, if we name the name of Christ, ought we not walk like him? You say you're a Christian. Why are you still lying? I understand that you got saved yesterday, you might still be lying, or last week, and you still lying, and a week before, you still smoking or drinking, or maybe, hanging out at the club and still fornicating a little bit. You got saved last week. Well, you've been saved for years. You've been saved for years, and you're still fornicating. You still drinking. You still smoking. You still lying. You still giving God what you want him to have. The Bible said, that Jesus said, I sanctify myself that you might sanctify yourself. It's time that you sanctify yourself. If you've truly been born again, it's time you sanctify. Set yourself apart. Lay down every weight, and this sin with dust will eat and beset you. God's grace is sufficient. Don't go making no excuses on how I can't do this. Baby, God's grace is sufficient. I don't care what your habit is. I don't care what your hang-up is. I don't care how long you've been doing it. God's grace is sufficient. My daddy, not only did my daddy drink liquor, but my daddy sold liquor. He was the liquor distributor. He drove the liquor car while everybody else drove the other car from the police. I'm sorry, on TV, I'm talking about real life. Where that car got between the liquor car and the police, so they couldn't catch the liquor car. Yes, that's my daddy. My daddy was driving the liquor car, and somebody else got between with a fast car and kept the police off my daddy. My daddy, so look, he distributed liquor all over the neighborhood that we lived. My daddy drank liquor ever since he was a little boy. Before he was 9 and 8, 9 years old, my daddy drank liquor, and he drank liquor all his life until he got into old age, in his 40s, in his 50s, and 40s, and late 40s. And my mama prayed to Oral Roberts and Billy Graham that God was that God would help my daddy stop drinking. And my daddy told my mama, honey, you can write Oral Roberts all you want to. You can write Billy Graham all you want to. I ain't gonna stop drinking liquor. I've been drinking liquor ever since I was a little boy, and I'm gonna die drinking liquor. But my mama did not stop. She knew God's grace was sufficient, and she kept on writing Oral Roberts and Billy Graham that they might pray for my daddy, that my daddy would get saved and stop drinking liquor. And I want y'all to know, in the name of Jesus, my daddy got up one Monday morning like he always do. My daddy carried him a pint of liquor. He carried him a pint of liquor to work. That was his breakfast. He didn't eat that much. He drank more than he ate. He got him a pint of liquor, and every morning he would take that pint of liquor, and he would take it to him and drink that all day long, sip on it a little bit there. And my daddy got his little pint of liquor and got there and got him a good old swallow like he always do, and it came back up. About an hour or so later on, he drank it again, and it came back up. My mama looked at him like, honey, God is delivering you. He looked at my mama like, this ain't nothing but a bug, honey. This ain't going to be over. I ain't stopped drinking the liquor. He waited like 2 or 3 days later, and he drunk that liquor, and it came back up. God delivered my daddy that week by the grace of God. I want you to know that God's grace is sufficient. God delivered my daddy that week. God delivered my daddy from drinking. Look at them been drinking. Look at all his life. He in his late 40s. Now, tell me he ain't going to stop drinking. Honey, don't let the devil fool you. The devil deceive you. I'm feeling right good long enough. Just about tell it like it is. Don't let the devil keep you bound. Don't let the devil tell you you can't stop because you've been doing it a long time. God's grace is sufficient. That's what he told Paul. It's sufficient means it's enough. It's enough to get the job done. It's enough to stop you from drinking. It's enough to stop you from smoking. It's enough to stop you from running around and midnight ramming. It's enough to stop you from whoremongering. Oh, yes, it is. It's enough. And God, my mama prayed for my daddy, and my daddy quit drinking. I'm like, let me let you how it works. See, when God changed you, God will use you to change somebody else. When your life changed, others are affected by your change. God don't just change you and that be it. By you changing, you change others. By me getting saved in 1979, many of thousands have gotten saved because I got saved. Not only the ones I witnessed to and they got saved, but some of them that I witnessed to somebody else and they got saved. I got many of my family members are saved now. When I got saved, weren't many of my family members saved. But because God saved me, he has saved a majority. Oh, man, God, a landslide of my family members. Your chain makes a difference, baby. That's why God wants you to give him your all in all. He wants you to lay down every weight in the sins so he can beset him. He wants you to let him clean you up. He wants you to let him sanctify him. You will be a vessel of honor. For the scripture said in every house, there are vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. So but if a man will sanctify himself from these things, and the writer told what these things was, adultery and fornication and sexual immorality and witchcraft and heresy and divination and all these things that people do in the dark. He said if God, man will sanctify himself from sedition and heresy. If a man anger and murder and hatred. If a man would sanctify himself from these things, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and fit for the mouth of you. God wants you to be a vessel of honor. You already been a vessel of dishonor. All the years you served the devil, you were the vessel of dishonor. But now God wants you to be a vessel of honor, sanctified and fit for the mouth of you. And because my daddy got saved, my daddy not only quit drinking liquor, but my daddy got saved and got in the spirit. That's how I learned a lot about the Lord. My daddy would sit up down at his feet, and he'd tell us Bible stories. stories I ain't never heard before. Didn't even know that one day they're going to do me good later on in life. But the Bible said, train up a child in the way to go. And what he's old, he will not depart. And what my daddy imparted to me, it is now in me now. The many Bible stories that he told me. Ain't got time to even tell the Bible. But my daddy got saved. And my daddy gave his life to the Lord. And because my daddy got saved, many of the men in the neighborhood who have been drinking for 40, 50, and 60 years told my mama to write Oral Roberts, write Billy Graham, so they can be delivered too. I want you to know, church world, there are people out there that you're talking about them. You're judging them. You're hanging their name on the Bible. They want to be delivered, but they don't have the power to be delivered. They don't have the strength to be delivered. They want to quit drinking. They want to get off of drugs. They want to get off of crack. And here you is talking about them, running them down, ain't knowing them. Act like you don't know they're out there. And here all they need is your prayer. Prayer changed this thing. Shabbat. Prayer changed this thing. Do you hear what I say? Prayer changed my daddy. And because my daddy changed, many other men in the neighborhood quit drinking. Their wives were glad. Their husband had been drinking all them years. And now he don't drink no more. Now he going to church. Now he putting a suit on Sunday. Rather than going to the pond, rather than going to the card game, he going to the church. I encourage you, give God your everything. If you ain't giving God your everything, I encourage you to give God your everything. Quit giving God leftovers. See, that's what happened in the book of Genesis. Whenever God told Cain and Abel, told them what they were supposed to give. And you know, Cain gave her the field and Abel gave her the flock. But Cain gave God what he wanted God to have. So giving God leftovers. God told him to give him the first fruit. But Cain come bring God leftovers. Rather than give God his all in all, he give God what he wanted God to have. And God blowed on him. And Cain got mad. And God said to Cain, if you do well, I'll bless you too. See, all God wants you to do is do well. That was my sermon Sunday. If you do well, God will bless you. And I come out to share that with you this afternoon. When you give God your everything, God will bless you. God will bless you. If God's not blessing you, you need to check. Don't check God. Ain't nothing wrong with God. Because God want to bless you. He said he withhold no good thing for them that walk upright. Now, you telling me you walking upright. You telling you crossing your T's and dotting your I's. You telling you doing everything that you're supposed to do. 10 years, or what about 5 years, or what about 3 years, and you ain't getting blessed by God. God ain't blessing you. Come on, baby. God ain't no lying God. God said if you do right, he will bless you. If you do it right, God will bless you. Now, I understand we go through trials. We go through tests, but they don't last all forever. They don't last for no year. God don't put no more on than we're able to bear. You can't even get a prayer to. Ain't no answer coming from the left, right, south, east, north, or west. Ain't nothing working in your favor. You need to have an inventory of yourself. You need to check yourself. Because sometimes, baby, it ain't so much about you committing adultery. It ain't so much about you committing fornication. You might have meanness in your heart. You might have resentment in your heart. You might have unforgiveness in your heart. You might have malice in your heart. You might be mad at somebody and ain't forgave them. And you think you have. You know how we is. I forgive you, but I won't forget. You got to forgive, and you got to forget. You got to get this mess out your heart, baby, so God can bless you. God said he want to bless you. He want to let you eat the good of the land. God said it was his good pleasure to bless you. It is God's good pleasure that you eat the good of the land. God wants you blessed. God wants you blessed. Do you hear what I say this evening? I come out and tell you, if God will, you'll be blessed. He wants you to enjoy. He said in the word, it was about all things Paul said, that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. What did Jeremiah 29 and 11 said? God said, I know my thoughts. I know my plans for you. Plan to prosper you. Huh? Plan to bless you. Prosper you, not evil, not bring evil, but bring you to an expected end. God don't want evil in your life. God wants to be blessed and blessed abundant. The scripture said he came to give you an abundant life. When Jesus Christ came, Jesus brought heaven with him. He said we had blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. When Jesus came and brought the Holy Ghost, he brought treasures from heaven, abundant life. And we're not doing this. I see a Christian. I see him suffering all the time. I see him coming short of God. I see him coming short of the blessing that God got. And I said, God, What's wrong with us? Why are your people walking so short? I know we got trials and tests, but this ain't got nothing to do with trials and tests. Sick all the time, and poverty all the time, trouble all the time, because we won't do right. We want to do partly right. We want to do half right. And then we got the audacity and got the nerve. They sit down at a supplement table and eat supplement with one another and know you mad at somebody. Know you done talked about them. Know you got animosity in your heart right there. Know you done rant them down and you got a nerve to sit there to eat that bread and drink that wine. Paul said you eat and drink damnation to yourself, disregarding the body of Christ because you knew you were on one accord with that person. You know you hated them. You know you didn't like them. And then call yourself and break bread with them and eat with them and disrespect the body of Christ. Because they are part of the body of Christ. So are you. We are brothers and sisters in the Lord. And we can't sit down at the supplement table and eat that bread and drink that wine and know we're mad at one another. Know we got animosity in our heart one another. Know we done talked about one another. Know we ain't forgave one another. The scripture said, oh, y'all help me this evening. The scripture said, you have all. If you bring your gift to the altar, and find out that your brother is mad at you, your brother is angry with you, your brother got off against you. He did not say, just like, I'm talking about, I ain't my fault, I ain't going back, I ain't did nothing. The scripture said, if you think it, it didn't say nothing about whether you were guilty or not guilty. He said, if you think it in your heart, if your brother got off, if you think, you know how people act funny sometimes, you see how they act and they ain't talking to you now, seem like they're giving you a cold shoulder. The scripture says, if you think it, there's something wrong, go to them and ask them what's wrong. Leave the gift at the altar. God don't want our gifts when we're mad at one another. God don't want our gifts when we got animosity in our heart toward one another. God don't want that gift when we don't hurt one another and disregard it like it don't mean nothing. It is important that we treat one another right. It is important that we love one another as brothers and sisters in the Lord, from the pulpit to the congregation. It is important that the pastor love the members. It is important that the members love the pastor. What kind of pastor you is and you don't love all your members? Talking about some of them sitting around the table running some of them down, sitting talking with the deacons and talking with the mother and talking about their sister in the church. No, you ain't supposed to do that. You're the pastor. You're supposed to stay. You ain't supposed to take sides. You ain't supposed to take that. You're supposed to stay in the middle of the road. You're supposed to love them good and love them that are bad. Love them that are doing wrong and love them that are doing right. You ain't got no business teaming up. You ain't got no business partner and taking sides with nobody in there. Oh, one of the worst places to go is to go to Gorel and go to Grandson and Western Sizzling and go to Applebee's and these different restaurants and there go Christians sitting in there running down some member of the church. Running, talking about some member of the church. This ought not be. The Bible told us to speak evil of no man. It's time that we get back on one accord. It's time that we get love back in our heart. That's what Jesus said in Revelation. He said, I got someone against you. You have left your first love. Yeah, you got all this formality going on. Yeah, you're doing all these things in the church. You're on every auxiliary in the church. And don't like me. Don't love me. Don't love me no more. Your heart done far from me. Huh? You got a form of godliness, but denying the power of the earth. It's time to fall back in love with God all over again. Do you hear me? It's time to fall back in God all over again so God can use you. It's time to have an inventory of our life. And if you find anything in your life ain't God-like, you need to get rid of it. You need to tell God to help you. God will help you. So you got to ask him to help you. Help me, Lord. Don't be so ashamed that you got an issue that you don't want to tell God. God knows about the issue anyway. Oh, my God. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting. God gave it all. God wanted to give our all. God gave it all. He gave everything he had that you might give everything that you have. Do you hear me? Serve God with your all. You will, this time next year, your life will change like the flirt number flower. You will be amazed. You will be astonished. And to use the word flabbergasted, you'll be flabbergasted if you would just serve the Lord. Serve the Lord with all that you have. Serve the Lord with everything. Do you hear what I'm saying? Quit getting God leftovers. Going to church when you dragging in the church like you, somebody like you didn't really want to go. Don't go to Sunday school. Sunday school is this, listen. Sunday school ain't for children. Sunday school for everybody. And here you ain't wanting to go to Sunday school for the children. No, let's change it around and say instead of saying Sunday school, school on Sunday. That's what that is. That's what the part we do have school on Sunday before worship service starts. And it's for everybody, because sometimes the pastor can't teach you and preach to you things that you learn in Sunday school, because you got an hour or so during Sunday school to learn some things. That's so when the pastor get up to preach and teach, you already be ahead of things. And they're dragging all in after half of the service is gone. It's time to put God first. It's time to get back and put God first. When you put God first, God will put you first. He want to bless you. Matthew 16:24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if any woman come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That's what we got to do. It ain't about you. It's about God doing God's will. Deny yourself. He says, any man come after me, let him deny himself, his ways, his actions, his character, his behavior, the things that he want to do. He didn't tell you not to have a life. He didn't tell you not to do nothing. He said, but if you're going to come out of him, you got to deny yourself. That means you got to give up this world. The Bible said, he that finds his life in this world going to lose it in the world to come. But he that loses his life in this world will find it in the world to come. You got to lose your life to be a disciple. You hear what I'm saying? You got to lose your life. You got to give up these worldly things. You got to give up these fleshly desires so that God can use you to make a difference in the lives of others. People need you. God needs to use you. He wants you to live so he can use you. Give God your everything. And see those things change when you give God your everything. And 1 John 5:14-15, and this is the confidence that we have towards him, that we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, and whatever we ask, we know that we have the request. Said that this is the confidence. When you live right, when you put God first, when you cross your T's and you dot your I's, when you lay down every weight in the sin so easy to beset you, then you got this confidence. You got confidence that when you pray, God will hear and answer your prayer. You hear what I'm saying? You got confidence that there ain't nothing in your heart. Ain't no condemnation in your heart. Ain't no iniquities in your heart. Huh? Ain't no hanging out at the club on Friday night in your heart. Huh? Doing what you want to do down through the week in your heart because you laid that stuff down. So now when you pray, you got confidence. Don't you know it feels good to have confidence that when you pray that God hears your prayer? That makes it more easier when you got that confidence in your heart that when you pray, oh, my God, that God hears you. Who don't want confidence? The Bible says, forget not the confidence. That's what the scripture says. Forget not the confidence you have in God. It will bring you a great recompense of reward. Otherwise, your confidence alone will reward you. Having confidence in God, if you don't come today, wait till tomorrow. If you don't come the next day, wait till the next day. If you don't come the next day, wait till the next day. Keep your confidence in God. The scripture said it will bring you a great recompense of reward. If you keep on having confidence in God, he's going to reward you out of the wild. I am now walking. Been serving God over 45 years, around 45 years. I am now walking. And some of the greater reward that God has to give. Walking in the reward that God got to give. Oh, it's a blessing to walk in the reward that God has. It's beyond your wildest dreams. Can't nobody bless you like God bless you. Can't nobody touch you like God touch you. Oh, I feel the anointing right now. I feel his presence right now. I hope you feel his presence right now as this word come out of my mouth. For he said it will not go out and come out of going, but accomplish what he's sending out to do. Wow. God is good. God is good right by himself. Hebrews 12:2 said, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him and do it the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking to Jesus. Now you're living right. You're doing what you're supposed to do. You're putting God first. You got to look to Jesus, not your mama, not your daddy, not your job. I encourage when you've been born again, you got to look to Jesus. Look into the hill would come at your help. Oh, my God. No, all your help coming from the Lord. Don't just say that. Believe that. Look into the hill would come at your help. Because all your help coming from the Lord that made the heaven and the earth. The writer said, look into the founder and perfecter of our faith. Your faith came from Jesus Christ. He founded your faith. And he's going to perfect your faith for the joy. He counted it joy. He counted the joy to die on the cross. He counted the joy to suffer for our sin. And that's a blessing in itself. Hebrews 3 and 12 said, take care, brother. Listen, take care. Now, see, Satan knows that you're trying to live right. Satan knows you're trying to do what's right, so you got to be careful. Take care means to be careful. Take care, brother, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the believing God. We live in a time now where people were leaving the church, going back out to the club. Ain't even nothing out there at the club. All those people that was in the club when you were there years ago, it's dead and gone. They gone, done moved out of town and done gone on the other side of the world. Ain't, why are you going back in the club? And these folks out there in the club ain't studying you. They don't care nothing about you. They think you crazy coming out of church, coming back in the club. They saw you in the church. Now here you out there in the club, going back drinking beer and wine and all that. Baby, God is too good. Don't you let that devil make you backslide. Don't you get an evil eye or unbelief, or evil heart or unbelief going back into the world, falling away. But the Bible said in the last day there'll be a great fall away from the church. Don't you be that part of that fall away. Hang on in there. Now you hold on. God coming to see about you. And don't be deceived. For God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sow, that shall he reap. If you sowing good things, God gonna bless you. If you sowing bad things, then you're gonna miss a blessing. God ain't gonna bless you if you sowing bad things. Yeah, he said, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sow, that shall he reap. Other words, if you showing good things, God's gonna bless you. If he's not, you need to ask your question. What kind of seed are you sowing? What kind of seed to be not deceived? Don't deceive yourself that you're going to sow bad seed and get a blessing, because you're not going to get no blessing if you're sowing bad seed. Change your seed. Maybe you need to change your seed. Maybe look at what kind of seeds you're planting and change your seed so you can be blessed, because God want to bless you. The Bible said it's his good pleasure to bless you. He wants to, but you got to put him first. You hear me? I'm talking to somebody who ain't putting God first. You're so busy doing this. You're working two or three jobs, putting God on the back burner. So tired you can't even go to church on Sunday. Trying to make a living. Baby, God is your living. I'm not telling you not to go to work. What the scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other things will be added to you. Don't you never get so busy. Don't you never get so busy that you put your job before God. Put your business before God. And you're so occupied, you can't even read your Bible. You can't even fast. You can't even pray. You can't even come to church because you're so occupied with your business. God can bless you with one job more than a person got five. But you got to put God first. Put God first. Where Timothy 6 and 12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called and about which you made a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. That means you made that confession that you were saved. You made that confession that you were born again. You made that confession that you were a Christian, and you gave the Lord your life, and you're going to serve him. Now, you got to fight a good fight of faith. Now, you got to fight anyway, but some people fight a bad fight, all sad and discouraged, and it looks like somebody done beat them up, and like they really don't want to be saved, but they is saved. Fight a good fight of faith. Hold on to your faith. Fight with your faith. Take hold on each other. So when you become born again, you holding on to the eternal life. Don't you let nothing make you turn eternal life loose. Hold on to that eternal life, baby. If nothing else, you can be saved when it's all over with. Don't you let no material thing, no houses, no land, no praying, no husband, no wife, no children, no brother, no girlfriend, no boyfriend. Don't you let nothing make you turn loose from eternal life. Hold on to your eternal life. Hold on to it. Hold on to it. Cry, but hold on to it. Pray, but hold on to it. Maybe just a point, but hold on to it. Don't let nothing take your grip off each other's life. That's all we got to look forward to when all this world is over with. We will go to heaven and be with God forever. Hold on. Fight that fight. Fight it. Get up from there laying down. Get up from there about to quit and fight that fight of faith. 1 Timothy 5 and 18, for the scripture says, you shall not mother not when it is treated out of grain, and the labor it deserves his wages. You'll be a blessing to your leader. That's what all this got to do with doing your best. Quit talking about your pastor. Quit talking about your leader. Quit talking about the church leader. If the church leader is doing wrong, don't you get in the conversation and talk about them. You keep your mouth shut. You let God fix it. If they're a leader, God's going to deal with them. If they're doing wrong, God's going to do it down. You just don't do wrong your own self. You keep your nose clean. You stay out of them conversations. It is not God's will for you to get caught up in a conversation talking about everybody, talking about this and talking about that. All I hear now is T.D. Jakes. All I hear is T.D. Jakes. T.D. Jakes did, T.D. Jakes that, T.D. Jakes did, and T.D. Jakes that. But you know what? I'm praying for T.D. Jakes. I'm praying for him and all that is within me. I'm praying that God will sanctify him if he is done wrong. I'm praying that God will heart our bullshit. I'm praying God will clean him up and pull him out of whatever mess he is, if he is in that mess. I didn't say he would. They say he would. I said that if he is, it is my prayer that God will establish him, that God will restore him, that God will get his attention, that God will put him on the right track. Because God has used this man to save so many souls. This man has made such a great difference in the body of Christ. Oh, this man, and my God, he had made such a sound. God had used him to make such a change, such a rhythm from his life. Have he blessed others, and others have been changed, healed, delivered, and set free. Huh? He's a monarch in so many ways. But now the devil want to destroy that. He want to help destroy it by running him down. But let us pray for him. Let us pray that God will pick him up and turn him around. That God will cleanse him up, that God will sanctify him in the name of Jesus. And we can't say that he ain't saved, because saved people do crazy stuff sometimes. Huh? David was saved, but look what David did. And then you still quoting David, just the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You still love David, so still love T.D. Jakes. So he ain't even did nothing what David did. David had a man killed, had committed adultery to get the man, then committed suicide, committed treason against the man, sabotaged the man, put the man on the front row, had the man killed, then went to take his wife home and married her. When God forgave him, God is still forgiving y'all. I just wanted to share that. So quit judging. The Bible says, judge not that you be not judged. With what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And what measure we met, we shall be measured. Please don't understand me. I'm not looking over no wrongdoing. I'm just saying it's time to not be talking now. It's time now to be praying. It's time to be praying. Because see, if this affects him, it affects us too. And we are part of the body of Christ. T.D. Jakes is part of the body of Christ. And any other pastor, they're part of the body of Christ. And it bothers me. It grieves me. Because I'm his brother. He's our brother. He's part of the body of Christ. And it affects all of us. So let us pray for his restoration. Is that all right? Oh, my God, in the name of Jesus. First Timothy said, 5:18 said, let me go to 1 Timothy 5:17. Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, and threaten to those who labor in preaching the teaching, preaching and teaching. Let us pray for our elders. Mm-hmm. That's what we need to do. Let's lift them up as Aaron and Hur did, Moses. Let's lift our elders up. Come give them double honor, those apostles and leaders and elders over us who've been out here a long time preaching. We just got out here yesterday, not like we know more than they do. But let us pray for them. Pray for them. Consider them with double honor, that God might continue to anoint them, that God might keep them in the way, that God might keep them doing the right thing. Because the Bible says that there'll be a great fall away, that we want to pray that our leaders do the right thing, that our leaders stay focused, keep their eyes on the Lord. Philippians 4:13 said, I can do all things through him. Oh, I come out to tell you this evening, you can do it. You can give God your best. You can give God your best. You know whether you're giving God your best or not. Only you know that. You can do it. You can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. He said Christ. God didn't send Christ just to save us. God sent Christ to strengthen us. That's what Paul said, I rejoice not in my infirmity, but when I'm weak, then am I strong. Paul said, I'm not going to rejoice. I'm not going to involve that I rejoice in my infirmity. I'm not going to rejoice by the fact that I'm so anointed, that people walked by and I got healed. They took some of my clothes, a piece of my cloth off my garment and touched people, and they got healed. Miracles will work from the cloth off my clothes. I'm not going to rejoice at that, Paul said, but I'm going to rejoice in my infirmity. And when I'm weak, this is when I'm strong. So you know, some of you feel like you're weak now, but I want you to know God is strengthening you right now. You feel like you're weak. You feel like you're letting God down. You feel like you ain't where you need to be in the Lord. But I want to tell you through your weakness, see, God had to humble you. God had to let you know that it ain't about you. It ain't about you. Sometimes we get a big head when we preach. Sometimes we get a big head when we teach. Sometimes we get a big head when we prophesy. Oh, my God, these young prophets, these days, they about got to knock them down when they get through prophesying. They had to fly away like they done something. But when you get through prophesying, you need to humble yourself. When you get through preaching, you need to humble yourself. When you get through teaching, you need to humble yourself. All the honor, all the glory, and all the praise go to God. And sometimes God had to kind of touch us and let us know that we're still in the flesh, and let us know that the glory still belongs to him, and we can't have it. We can't have God's glory. All the glory belongs to the Lord. And sometimes we take it in sneaky like ways that don't know him. But Bible says when we're weak, that's when your strength comes. When you're weak. Paul said that when I'm weak, then am I strong. Not when I'm strong, but when I'm weak, that's when my strength comes. It's when I'm weak that I fast. It's when you're weak that you pray. That's when God gives you the strength you need. Oh my God. To make the journey. 1 Corinthians 16:1-12, he said, now concerning the collection of the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so also are you to do. On the first day of the week, every week, Paul said, each of you put your something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so that there will be no collection when I come. And when I arrive, I will send those who are credible by letter to carry your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable that I should go also, they will accompany. Paul said that it might not be no confusion when I get there. People talk about the church. All the pastors want their money. All the preachers want their money. That's all they want to do. That's all they talk about. Money, 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 money. But I come out of church notice that the church cannot run without money. The church needs money. That's why the Bible is a mother, not an ox, that tread out the corn. That's what the scripture says. It said, mother, not the ox, that tread out the corn. Why? Because the pastors of the church, they ought to be taken care of. The leaders of the church ought to be taken care of. The light be on the carpet. The heat, the air, you said, doing that air. That air ain't free. That heat ain't free. You see what I'm trying to tell you? And so God would have you to know that you ought to take care of those of the household of faith. The Bible said it make it not hard for the pastor to preach. Some of us are making it hard for our pastor to preach because we're talking about it. Hanging his name on the signboard. Saying things that we ought not say. And God is not pleased that we should do that. Making it hard for our leader to deliver the word of God. So quit talking about your leader. Quit talking about it. Get out of that little group you in. I see you in that little group, in that group up there talking. Talking about the pastor. Talking about the first lady. Saying things you ain't got no business saying. And thank God don't hurt you. That's what Mary and Aaron, that's what happened to Mary. You see what happened to her? How they talked about her, Mary and Aaron, talked about Moses because they thought because he was their brother. Just because somebody in the church, your family member, don't give you no right to talk about them. Yes, some of you are talking about the pastor, the leader, the first lady, and then your family member. And you think it's okay. Somebody encourage you, it ain't okay just because they family. They don't give you permission to talk about them. They'll be anointed. The scripture says, that's not my anointing. I do my prophet no harm. That mama, your church, that daddy, maybe your grandma, your cousin, they may be family members. And some of you been need to repent right now while I'm preaching. You've been talking about them. You've been making them feel bad. They ain't said nothing to you. You think that we don't say nothing to you, we don't know that you've been talking about us. Yes, I can look them right in the mouth and tell them they were talking about me because the Holy Ghost done let me know, but he didn't tell me to say nothing. You think because we as leaders don't say nothing that we don't know nothing. We do know. We know God give us discernment. We know that you done talked about it. And then guess what God does? Even though you done talked about us, God turned around and called us to pray for you that we might stay humble. We might stay committed in his presence. We might not get animosity and bitterness resenting our heart toward you. God has us to pray for you even though you done talked about us. Look, and they talked about Moses and Aaron, and they thought it was okay. Yeah, they didn't talk about it by themselves. They talked about it in the congregation, the many in the congregation started going along with them, talking about Moses, Aaron, because Moses had married this black woman. Moses was a Jew, but he married this black woman, the Ethiopian woman. His wife was black, and they talked about that and tried to make Moses feel bad and talked about his wife. And God called him to the door of the assembly, Ashabah. And God asked him, said, how dare you talk about my servant? How dare you talk about my servant like he ain't nobody? Who gave you permission to talk about him? And God took and cursed her and put leprosy on her. He didn't do nothing to Aaron, but he did her. because Mary must have did the most of the talking. But nevertheless, she got put out of the camp. And Moses told her, God, you know, Moses prayed for her. God said, okay, I heard your prayer, but I'm going to still make her stay out of the camp 7 days. So when you got lepers, you got to stay outside the camp 7 days, out away from everybody. She had to stay away from everybody. Why did she know with leprosy? Because she talked about Moses. Keep on talking. God is going to allow something to happen. He's going to allow some condition to come on you. And the pastor got to pray for you. Moses had to pray for her. She talked about it. And the pastor's going to have to pray for you. You wonder what's going on. You know what's going on. You been, I don't know why I'm on this, but I'm talking to somebody. You quit talking about your leader. You quit talking about your pastor. Quit talking about the deacons and the mothers. And by the way, quit talking about the church folk. Church folk, quit talking about one another. When you start talking about church folk, you're talking about your own self, because you church folk. How you going to talk about your arm and your leg don't know it? How you going to talk about your feet and your eye don't know it? How you going to talk about your toe and your ankle don't know it? The body do not talk about it. The body does not kick against itself. Did you not know that? The body do not kick against itself. The body works so sweetly together. The hand, the feet. I'm raising my right hand now, just shaking it. Guess what? My left hand ain't mad because I ain't shaking it. My feet ain't mad because I'm shaking my hand and ain't shaking my feet. The body works so sweet. That's why the trip to use the body. It works so sweet together. Now, I'm touching my eye right now, but my mouth ain't mad. My mouth ain't mad because I didn't touch it. My ears ain't mad because I didn't touch my ear. See how sweetly my body work together? All the organ, mind, their own business. Whatever's going on the outside ain't got nothing to do with the inside. Everything in its place. Everything working so sweetly, jointly together. That's how the body of Christ is. But we got so much division. We got jealousy. We got envy. We got strife. The scripture said, be careful. Let me bite and devour one another. Talking about one another, how not bad. I have one another bad. The writer said, be careful. Let we destroy one another and devour one another. It's time to get love back in the church. They're trying to get love back in our heart, one to the other. I love that song that they wrote. I need you. You need me. We all are part of God's body. Stand with me, and I'll stand with you. So we all are part of God's body. Ain't that something, though? We all part of God's body. Don't talk about me, and I won't talk about you. We all are part of God's body. You pray for me, I'll pray for you, because we're all part of God's body. Can I share that with you? We all are part of the body of Christ. The body does not talk about, the natural body does not talk about itself. The natural body does not fight against itself. It has no schism at all, no schism at all. It works so sweet, they joined together because God made it that way. So is the body of Christ. Something wrong, somebody. Somebody putting on a front. Somebody not telling the truth. Somebody lying, because if we're not getting along, something wrong comes somewhere. For the scripture says, we're confusing it is the devil. Here we'll be talking about we love one another, and we're confusing. We got so much division going on in the church, so much division going on in the choir, so many divisions going on in the congregation, so many divisions going on with the members and the pastor. And then we say we love him, we love one another. The Bible says where the confusion is the devil. He didn't say you were the devil. And you don't got to be the devil to let the devil use you. And I'm encouraging us that we work together. We give God our all in all. Give God your everything. Serve God with all your heart. Serve God with all your mind. He's thinking about to tell you, give him your all. That old leftover mess you've been giving God, God don't want that no more. He wants to bless you. But in order for him to bless you, you got to give him your all. Huh? He already told you to give your tithes. I didn't make no so much emphasis on that. But you know he's going to give you your tithes and your offerings. The Bible says give 10% of all your earnings. Give God the first fruit. The first fruit. The tithes out your check before you start paying the bill. Take your tithes out and put them to the side. Don't leave your tithes in your pocketbook with your other money, because you might end up getting them mixed all up, end up spending it. Don't wait until you pay the bill and then get your tithes. Then you're going to feel bad because you ain't got enough money left. You got no money left, and you can pay your tithe, you're going to be broke. Let me share notice with you. If you want to keep some money, keep some of the bill money. You pay your tithe. If you're going to hold back some money, hold back your bill money. My aunt told me a long time ago, and I'll never forget what she told me, because I was telling her I pay all my bills, and somebody wouldn't have no money left. She said it's your money until you get it to the bill collector. She said, if anybody got to suffer, let the bill collector suffer. Don't you suffer. You pay with what you can, and you keep enough money left to put gas in the car, enough money to keep the lights on in the house and pay the rent. Don't you dare pay all your money trying to pay all the bills and then end up without your own self. because they didn't make that money. You made that money. Even though you owe them, they can't get it till you give it to them. Huh? So you put God first. Get God tithe money. Get God money out of your check. Lay it to the side. Lay it. Then if you want to get an offering, that's real good too. But don't be acting like it's a problem. Like it bothers you to pay your tithe. It's like you grieve it. You're paying your tithe, but you're grieving. I mean, I got to pay my tithe. I ain't got no money left. And all, no, baby. Do what I just told you. Pay your tithe. You got to keep somebody money back. You keep the bill collector money back. Because if you pay your tithe, God will help you pay your bill. See what it is? You're trying to pay your bill and then pay your tithe. And then you come up short paying your tithe. No, you pay your tithe and then pay your bill. And if you come up short, I guarantee you, God's going to take up the slack. God's going to make a way out of no. God's going to open the windows of heaven and pull you out of blessings. Will a man rob God? You're robbing from your tithe and your offering. Huh? He said, but if you pay your tithe, I'll open the windows of heaven and pull you out of blessings. There be not room to hold it. So I'm helping somebody this evening. Reverse that thing. Quit paying your bills and then trying to pay your tithe, and then you ain't got but a little bit of money left and you can't pay your tithe because that's all you got. You got to pay your gas, your car. You got to do this and that. No. Pay what bills you can pay. Save some money to put gas in your car and pay the light bill and pay your mortgage. These are the most important things. You can't go to work if you ain't got no car. So make sure you keep your car payment. You can't. You got to have a place to stay, so make sure you pay your mortgage. And you don't want to stay with the light set off, so make sure you pay the light. And then you got your grocery. Those are the priorities. Keep your house, keep your light, keep grocery, keep your car, and gas to go in your car. Huh? And if anybody got to suffer, let the bill collector suffer. Let him call you. Let him call you. He can't beat you up, can't take your money. Let him call you. Tell him you can pay when you can pay him. You pay him when you can pay him, when you can't pay him. If you can't pay him, you can't pay him. If you can't pay him, you can't pay him. But that's what you do. But don't forget to pay your tithe. Take them tithe money out and take your tithe money out first. Lay it to the side, and you're going to see a change. You will see God bless you abundantly. And be glad to pay your tithe. Don't be all frantic and say, my tithe more this week. That's a lot. Quit trying to count how much it is. Because the more it is, the more God going to bless you. Do you hear what I'm saying? If it's $20, $30, $50, $100, $300, the more it is, I remember my tithe was $7. Then my tithe got to be $10, $20 and all, and I was excited. And the more my tithe got, the bigger my income got, the more my tithe was. And I was excited that God was blessing me that way. Ain't God good? So put God first. Put God first. Oh, my God. And he'll bless you real good. 1 Corinthians 10 and 12 says, therefore, let anyone who think that he standeth take heed lest he fall. Stay humble. Stay humble. Stay humble. Quit getting a big head. Thank you, standing. Got a nerve to talk about somebody. So you ain't making no mistake. It's good you ain't making a mistake. I highlight you on that. I thank, hear me? I thank God you're not making no mistake. But that don't give you no room to talk about nobody. You hear me? That don't give you no room to scandalize nobody's name. They don't give you no room to put nobody down just because you ain't making a mistake. Hey, because we all can stand and come show the glory of God. Be grateful that you're not making a mistake and pray for others that are making a mistake that they might not make no mistake. And you stay humble. That's what the writer said. Thank you, standing, lest you fall. That's because you're getting pride now. You're getting a big head. Stay humble. 1 Corinthians 2 and 2 says, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Stay humble. Quit trying to know so much. Quit trying to know so much. Trying to be a scholar. It ain't about that making other people feel bad because you're so educated in the word and make them feel like they don't know nothing. Because we're in this thing together. We're brothers and sisters in the Lord. We ain't trying to compete against one another. No, we're not. Romans 8 and 28 said, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. You heard what he said in Romans 8 and 28 says, it's for those who love God. When you love God and you truly say you love God, now remember I said now, if you love God, you have to keep the commandments. You can't say you love God, you ain't keeping the commandments. Anybody can say, I love God. Oh, I love the God. But Jesus said it out of his own mouth. If you say you love me and keep not my commandment, you're lying. So this is how you show you love God. You keep his commandments. You love the brothers. You forgive one another. You don't hold grudges. You don't hold animosity. But the Bible says love is kind. The Bible says love holds no grudges. Love holds no animosity. Love is all suffering. Love is patient. Uh-huh. Love don't rule its own self. Love is not unruly. Love is not honoring and disrespectful. So when you get to talking about love, you got to know what love is. According to the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, then Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Love the brother. That's what he said. If you say you love me, don't love the brother. He said, you lie again. We got to love one another. How you going to love God who you have never seen? That's what Jesus said. How you going to love me who you never seen? And then said you didn't love your brother. You see your brother every day, and you can't love him. But you talking about you love me, ain't never seen me. Don't even know what I look like. So let us love one another. But this is the greatest commandment, that we love one another. Love the Lord thy God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. What he say? And love thy neighbor, and love thyself. That's what we got to do. Amen. Romans 8:7 says, for the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, but it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot be. That's my last verse of scripture. You cannot have a fleshly mind and please God. You hear me? You've been born again. You should have a spiritual mind. The Bible says, let the mind that was in Christ Jesus be in you. You cannot have, if you got a fleshly mind, you're hostile. You're hostile. That means you're an enemy to God. They want your mind to not even submit to the law of God. Indeed, it cannot. With a fleshly mind, you cannot please God. You cannot commit to his spirit. You cannot commit to his ways. So make sure your mind is spiritual. Let the mind that was in Christ be in you. Scripture says, we've been born again now. And how do we get the mind of Christ? By reading the Bible, by reading the word of God. For God's word is, listen, for God's word is the mind of Christ. Did you know that? For God's word is the mind of Christ. Jesus said, I was with the Father in the beginning. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And there was nothing created in the beginning without him. And in him is life, the light of men. Do you understand what I'm saying? Jesus, because you already, we said Jesus came when he was born by the Virgin Mary. But I come out to share with you another story. I ain't got time to preach on that. Yes, Jesus came when he was born by the Virgin Mary. But Jesus was here when the world created in the beginning. When God created the heavens and the earth, God, he used the word. He used that word. Jesus was in the beginning. It was Jesus that God used to create the heavens and the earth. Huh? In him, nothing was made that was made without him. So we thank God. Again, I encourage you. Again, I encourage you, put God first. Give him your all in all, and he will bless you beyond your wildest dreams. Present Father, we just thank you for your word. And now that you gave us this word, help us. Help us, oh God. Help us to put you first. Help us to cross our T's and dot our I's. Help us to do what you told us to do. For you said that to save you with all our mind, with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength. We need your help. We need you to help us to love you with all our mind. Because sometimes the enemy gets in our mind. Sometimes the worldly things get in our mind. Sometimes the fleshly things get in our mind. In the name of you, and cause our mind not to be, to love you as it ought to God. And help us to love you with all our strength. Not give all our strength to the devil, but love you with all our strength, with all our might, with all our mind, with all our, so God, that we might be better Christians. That we might be a better body of Christ. And let us pray one for the other, oh God. Not talk about one another, not hang one another's name on the signboard, but help us to talk about and pray for one another, to love one another, encourage one another. Do these things, Lord. And thy name shall be praised. Let thy word not go out and come back void, but accomplish what you're sending out to do. Let it fall upon a listening ear this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.